Delighting in the Lord is going to be the best way to help uncover your gift. So stop praying, Lord, I want your will, but I still want Bill.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In the first part of this message, which we heard last week, Pastor Brian Grant explained from God's Word how it is that God's design for marriage does not include marriage for everyone. Instead, to some people, God has given the gift of singleness. But this evening, Pastor Grant will return to the question of God's design for marriage and how one should explore the very personal question of whether God intends for them the gift of marriage or the gift of singleness. Again, using the Word of God as our guide, Pastor Grant, in this second part of his message entitled Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 2, will show how uncovering one's own gift is a matter of following God's design. Here again is Pastor Grant.
Some singles, get this, some singles are single for a season, but others are single for a reason. Did you hear that? Some singles are single for a season. God has a plan. But there are some who are single for a reason. There are some of you here today that God has a great adventure for you. Did you hear what I'm saying? There are some of you that God has a great adventure lined up. And you cannot explore and achieve that adventure if you're married. The challenge of our generation is to be searching for the good in exchange for the excellent. What could be more excellent than to fulfill God's purpose? If God has a grand adventure for you, what could be better than becoming like the Apostle Paul? We're after a life of ministry and service for God. You can look back with joy, knowing how God has used you. So I encourage you, just remember that some are single for a season, and none of us know whether we are the ones for a season. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Make sure while you're single, you throw your life into pursuing God's will. Elizabeth Elliot wrote, I think there are a lot of single women who are not throwing their heart and soul into the will of God for today because they are dying inside for something that God has not given them yet. Listen, don't spend too much time worrying about what God has not given you at this moment. Pursue today. Seek God's will today. Pursue His will today. Amen? Fourth, delighting in the Lord will help to uncover your gift. Is your gift singleness or marriage? You may be here and you're saying, Pastor, you talk about the gift of singleness and the gift of marriage. How am I to know which one I have? Because to be honest right now, the only thing on my mind is marriage. So how do I know? I am going to suggest to you that the best way to determine and to discern what gift God has for you is to focus your energy and your life on delighting in the Lord. Here's what Psalm 37 verse 4 says. It says what? Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall what? Let's say that part with me again. And He shall what? He shall give you the desires of your heart. So, What does that mean? Does that mean he'll make the love of your life come knocking at the door Thursday afternoon? You notice I had to give a quick time, because if I said 2 years from now, that's too far. You want it, God? I want it, and I want it now. Let's make sure we understand this verse. Here's what God is saying. When we truly delight in him, when our passion, God is our passion, pleasing God is our passion, we are focused on God and the things of God. We're submitted to the word of God. We're submitted to the will of God. That's what we are about. Here's what God is saying. When that happens in our life, God will actually start changing our desires. After a while, the things we desire will be the same thing God desires for us. Are you getting it? After a while, as I delight in the Lord, after the more I am so impressed with God and caught up with God, after a while, what he desires for me is exactly what I will desire. Amen. So guess what? If what you're desiring is what he desires for you, guess what? You get the desires of your heart. You say, but Brother Brian, that's not fair, because I always wanted this, and you mean I might not get that? Guess what? It's okay, because you're still living a life where your desires are fully being met. How many of you are there yet? Listen, what a place it would be if I am living and I have my desires fulfilled. Every day I get up, I feel fulfilled. I am thrilled. Listen. Delight in the Lord. So as I start delighting, the more I delight in the Lord, he changes my desires. And after a while, I begin to realize what gift he has given me. You see, for some of us, after a while, you start realizing that God still wants, that there's still that desire for someone. You're delighting in the Lord, and God gives you that desire. Guess what happens? He will meet that need. But for some, he's going to reorient you, and suddenly you are more interested in pursuing his will, of pursuing his great adventure for you. Delighting in the Lord is going to be the best way to help uncover your gift. So stop praying, Lord, I want your will, but I still want Bill. Instead, make delighting in the Lord your primary focus. So, because we're going to be going on a little progression in the next three messages. So I've dealt with that. The issue of, is my gift singleness or marriage? And now I have realized God is saying, I gave you the gift of marriage. Well, the next step is, what qualities should I be looking for? Robert had been looking for the girl of his dreams for years. One day he told his pastor what he was looking for in a wife, and he pulled out a long list of qualifications. She must play the piano. She must make her own clothes. She must cook good cooking. She must weigh no more than 115 pounds. She should be confident, but at the same time, she should have a meek and quiet spirit. The pastor stopped him. He said, Robert, you left an important item off the list. You forgot to put that she should not have a dream list of her own. Because if she does, you are in trouble. But today, there are two non-negotiables I want to talk about as we bring this to an end. I am saying to you singles, if you are a Christian, and you don't follow these two, don't even pretend that you're obeying God. Non-negotiable one, ensure they are saved. If you are saved, don't develop a relationship with an unsaved person. And don't tell me they're almost saved. I told you before, I have never met a woman who is almost pregnant. Neither have I met somebody who is almost saved. Don't worry, Pastor, I'm almost saved, you know. I'm almost saved. Don't worry. I know he's not saved right now, but in a few weeks, he's seeming so interested, you know. He's getting interested. He liked the preaching. Is he saved? If he's not saved, so what do we turn to? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm turning to verse 14. And here's what the Bible says. I don't want to give you my opinion, you know. I only want to tell you what God says. And here's what he says. Now, if you decide, I hear God, but I don't see why, go ahead, help yourself. No, trust me, trouble is coming. By the way, the church is not going to take the position, I told you so. You go mess up. We're not going to say we told you so. We're still going to help you. But I tell you, I beg you, save yourself some agony. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Here's what it says. Do not be what? Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Boy, God uses some strong terms. That boy who almost saved, God say, he is lawless. He is in darkness. And verse 15, and what accord has Christ with Belial? You say, how could God use? But that's what he calls the boy. That's what he calls a charming little girl. But she hasn't come to faith in Jesus. He says, what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? This is not a suggestion.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
You know, some Christians look at this as a suggestion. Might I ask your question? What part of do not don't you understand? I'm serious. What part of do not is so difficult to understand? The Bible says, do not be unequally yoked. You say, Brother Brian, what's a yoke? A yoke is a wooden bar that joins two oxen to each other and to the burden they carry. So the oxen are supposed to pull a burden, and this yoke is a wooden bar that connects them to each other and to the load they're supposed to carry. And an unequal yoke usually happens when you have one stronger oxen than the other. So one ox is strong, the other one is weak. So guess what happens? Can you imagine this 80-year-old ox and this young, fit ox tied together? One wants to go and the other one, he's a... You realize what happens? The thing actually goes in a circle, you know, because one is moving and the other one is way behind. They're trying to plow this place. But instead of going that way, listen good. Unequally yoked oxen cannot plow properly. Did you hear the word I'm using? Cannot plow properly. Instead of working together, they work at odds with each other. Unequally yoked oxen work at odds with each other. And God is letting you know, young person, and I'm glad there are so many young people in the audience. I want you young people to know, and the older ones, because there are a lot of older singles here, I want you to realize that God is saying an unequally yoked marriage will not work. Now, if you're already married, don't go home and say to your spouse, you know, honey, you're not really saved. And the pastor said, an unequally yoked marriage won't work. I didn't say that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7 deals with that. And that passage says, so now you're married? Stay right where you are. God has made a special case of that. And the Bible says, the believing spouse sanctifies the unbelieving spouse. It doesn't mean they're saved, but God has set them apart special. So he has set them apart special. So this principle doesn't apply. You're already in it. Stay right where you are. But you know, I just want to say that thank God, despite this, that God sometimes in answer to our prayer extends mercy. And so I want you to know, you may have a situation and you know someone who has married in an unequally yoked situation. And sometimes, you know, you're so upset that they did it, you just give them over and you don't pray. I just want you to know, you know, in September we're going to be talking about the life of Abraham. And you know, all you can see there, there's so many evidences of this unbelievable mercy of God. And God in his mercy, somebody breaches his will and decides to do it his way. And thank God for praying family and a praying church who can keep praying and begging God for mercy that he would intervene. Don't give up on anybody. Praise the Lord. You say, Pastor, how will I know they're saved? Here's the very difficult answer. Ask them. Ask them questions. They say they're saved. So how did you get saved? And listen. Oh, I was born saved. Just say to them, you know, John, if you were born in a garage, it wouldn't have made you a car. Don't go quite that bluntly. But you know what I'm saying. Perhaps I'm speaking to someone who is in a relationship with an unsaved person right now. I'm going to beg you, stop making excuses and just obey God. I know it's going to hurt. Whenever emotions are involved, it hurts. And so sometimes we put off the pain. But the pain is nothing to be compared with the pain of marrying the wrong person. Before I go to my final point, let me talk to the person who is not saved. If you are here and you're not saved, you may be a man and you're looking for a nice, clean woman. Or you might be a woman looking for a nice, Christian man. Leave them alone. Do you know why I'm saying that? I'm looking out for you. If you marry this Christian, you are begging for trouble. You know, sometimes we don't look at it that side. You go and marry that Christian, you are begging for trouble. You will always have trouble with your father-in-law. I'm talking about her father. She, that person you're married to, that person's father is the Almighty God. And he and you are going to always have trouble. Stay away. Oh, a better idea. Come to Jesus today. Come to Jesus. This morning, you might have come into God's house. I want you to know all I'm talking about so far. It doesn't matter a whole lot unless you know Jesus. But what a wonderful thing it is when Jesus Christ comes in and becomes your Lord and your Master and your Savior, and he can guide you. Final point. Second, final, non-negotiable. Ensure they are growing Christians. A profession of faith is good, but not enough If someone is a Christian, you ought to be able to see fruit in their life. So, amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7:20 says, "By their fruits you shall know them. By their fruits you shall know them." Look for fruit. Don't be taken in the guy who claims to love Jesus, but he doesn't want to go to church. By his fruits you shall know him. If he is saved, he ought to want to come. Amen. Don't be caught up with this girl who loves Jesus, or so she says, but all she wants to do is party. By their fruits you shall know them. Look for fruit. The problem is, if we are honest, sometimes we want somebody so badly, we refuse to admit there is no fruit. Did you hear what I said? We are so desperate for a relationship, we see there is no fruit, but we move forward anyhow. I am here to tell you, you better, if you don't see fruit now, you ain't seeing fruit later. Because if the tree is dead, you can wait 5 years and the fruit won't come. This got to be life, spiritual life. But I close with a verse. Judges 21:25, the Bible says, "In those days Israel had no king. All the people did whatever seemed right in their own eyes." I believe that's where we are today. Folks don't seem to realize they have a king. You see, it says Israel had no king, and everybody did what was right in his own eyes. All the Jews were doing what they feel like doing. And I'm sad to say that as I listen to what's going on in the Christian society, it seems like we don't realize we have a king. We just do whatever we want to do. But I want you to know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have a king. And his name is Jesus. We need this morning to stop doing what feels right to me and submit to the Lordship of Christ. The Bible says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And it is my prayer this morning that if you're here and you're a believer in Christ, you're saying, "God, I am going to commit this relationship aspect of my life to you. I'm willing to submit to your will. Whatever your will is for me, that's what I want to do." I hope there's somebody who will be doing that. But perhaps you're here and you're not saved. You know, if you're not saved, it means you have still not found the greatest love of your life. John 15:15, verse 13. The Bible says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friend." Oh, I want you to know that Jesus Christ loved you. God loves you. And he sent Jesus to die for your sin. You know, people have sought for earthly love and not found it. But if you really want the love of God, the Bible says, "If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me." I guarantee you this morning, my friend, young person, older person, male or female, it doesn't matter. It could be you have never come and sought for the love, the greatest love, the love of God. This morning you can come to him and say, "Lord Jesus, I want to experience your love. I have never responded to Jesus. I've never invited him. I know he died for the sins of the world, but I've not made it personal. I didn't realize he actually wants a personal relationship with me. But wow, God, if that's what you want, that's what I want. I want to have a personal relationship with you, and I want to receive you. Will you do that?"
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.